Hey everybody, welcome to episode 356 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. All right, well, we're going to break down this week's Class 5A State Softball Tournament, which will come to an end on Friday night at 7:30 p.m. with the championship game between top-ranked and defending champion Waukee Northwest and number 2 Ankeny Centennial. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Centennial coach Brett Delaney, but right now my first two guests are two of the stars on the Jaguars squad. To my left is a senior outfielder and pitcher who has helped the team to a 41-3 record. She is batting .369 with 14 home runs, 11 doubles, and 43 RBIs. In the circle, the South Dakota State recruit has completed piled a 5-2 mark with a 3.99 ERA. She's Miley Hatfield. Miley, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good.
And to my right is a senior third baseman who is batting .478 with 18 home runs, 11 doubles, and 63 RBIs. She will likely earn All-State honors for the fifth time in her career. And last week, she was one of 13 players across the nation to be named a first-team All-American by the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association. In the fall, she will be taking her talents to the University of Minnesota. She is Jordan Kennedy. Jordan, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good.
All right, well, I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Miley, let's start with you. This is your first season of high school ball, so this has obviously been your first trip ever to the state tournament. You know, what do you think of the atmosphere at the tournament? Has it been fun to play up there in Fort Dodge?
For sure. The atmosphere there is unmatched by anywhere else, and it's so fun to be able to play with some of my best friends that I've gone to school with since we were kids.
And Jordan, this is your third trip to the state tournament. You were named the captain of the Class 5A All-Tournament team as a freshman after leading the Jaguars to the state title in 2023. And you were again selected to the All-Tournament team last year after Centennial earned a third-place finish. Now, this year's tournament has been a little different, though. It was played under double elimination for the first time ever, format for the first time ever. And you guys played all three of your games during bracket play on Triton Field, which is one of the new East Diamonds at Harlan Rogers Park. So what did you think of the new field and the double elimination format? Do you think that's, you know, been a positive change for the tournament?
It's definitely interesting, but I think it was a good change because then it kind of makes you want to keep winning and keep going. But yeah, definitely a little weird, kind of getting used to, but overall it was fun.
Well, the double elimination format didn't really change much of anything in Class 5A this year because Northwest and Centennial were ranked number 1 and number 2 all season, and both teams, of course, you know, cruised through bracket play at the state tournament without dropping a single game. Miley, I think a lot of people, you know, have been expecting this matchup in the championship game all season. You know, did it seem to you all along that, you know, that maybe this matchup was kind of inevitable, that, you know, you'd be playing them in the final?
Yeah, throughout the season, everyone kept saying that it was going to be us two up there. And obviously, that's where you want to be, but we still have to take every game one at a time. Like, upsets happen, you never know what can go on. So just taking one game at a time.
And Jordan, I asked Northwest star Sophia Schlater after their game yesterday about the potential matchup against Centennial, and she said she wanted to play you guys. You know, of course, the Wolves were the team that defeated you 11-3 in last year's Class 5A semifinal. Your teammate, Matty Ott, told me yesterday that you guys also wanted to play the Wolves because you wanted to get some revenge. You know, so this is the matchup that you wanted, right?
For sure, for sure.
Well, we're going to break down the championship game here in a bit, but first I wanted to recap, you know, how we got here. Miley, you've had an outstanding tournament. You hit a grand slam and a sacrifice fly as your team opened the tournament on Monday with a 12-2 win over Dowling Catholic in four innings, and you were named the player of the game. On Tuesday, you made an outstanding catch in left field, and that likely saved a run and preserved a shutout for Lauren Sandholm as your team defeated Southeast Polk 8-0 in six innings in the second round. And then yesterday, you hit a two-run single in the first inning to kind of ignite your team's offense. You guys went on to beat the Rams again 10-3 to advance to the championship game. Now, you guys were facing Southeast Polk pitcher Carter Price for the second day in a row, and on Tuesday, you came to bat in the first inning with the bases loaded and one out, and Price was able to get you out and eventually got out of that jam. But yesterday you came to bat in the same situation and you delivered that huge two-run single. You know, of course, your team went on to score in every inning. So what was your approach at the plate yesterday, and had you learned anything from the day before?
For sure. After seeing her for the game on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After seeing her there, we all knew what to expect then the next day, and everyone made adjustments to then get on her a little more than we did in the previous game.
Well, Jordan, you've had a good tournament as well, although teams have been pitching around you much of the time. Overall, you've gone 3-for-5 in the tournament with 4 walks, and you're also hit by a pitch. You've scored a pair of runs in all 3 games as your teammates in the lineup behind you have done a good job of driving you in. On Monday, both you and Maddie Ott drew walks before Miley hit her grand slam. And then yesterday, both Maddie and her sister Emmy hit 2 home runs for the Jaguars, who have now had 8 home runs in the 3 games and a new state record 92 for the season. So, Jordan, you know, you're perfectly happy taking a walk and letting your teammates do the work, right?
Yes, I am. It's fun, honestly. I like having Maddie behind me and knowing what she's going to do.
Well, Molly, the way this tournament shook out, you guys have played only teams from the CIML conference, and I don't think anybody's too surprised by that because it has been the best conference in the state. And of course, you guys went 21-3 during the regular season to win the CIML title by 1 game over Northwest. Now, I thought maybe you guys might be number one in the final rankings after winning the conference title, but I guess the fact that the Wolves won 2 of the 3 meetings during the season, including the first one when Schlater pitched, you know, may have outweighed that factor a little bit. But do you feel like you guys are the best team in the state?
For sure. We can beat anyone there is, and we can hit any pitcher there is.
And Jordan, I'm sure you feel the same way. You know, do you feel like you guys have something to prove tomorrow night?
For sure. Honestly, I'm kind of glad we're number 2 because then we're going to be the underdogs. So we have nothing to lose.
Let's break down this matchup in a little more detail. The Wolves did win that first meeting at Centennial on June 4th, 6-5. Schlater tossed a 7-hitter in that game. She was out of town on June 25th when the two teams split a doubleheader at Northwest. And you guys had that huge 6-run rally in the 7th inning to win the second game that night, 9-7. Now, Miley, even though Schlater wasn't there, how important do you think that win was to show you guys that you could beat them?
Yeah, I mean, Schlater is a good player, but she's not their whole team. We can still get everybody else out. We can hit anyone they have. And we hit Schlater the first time we played her just as well as anybody else, if not better. So we know we can rally together and get that comeback win.
Yeah, in that first meeting, Jordan, you had one of your team's 4 doubles off Schlater. You hit a 2-run double in the 7th inning to close the gap to 6-5 before the Wolves held on for the win. Do you think that game showed you guys that you can hit her, and does that give you some confidence going into tomorrow?
For sure. I think we're all happy after the game, even though we lost, that we did really well against her for the first meeting. So be very confident for tomorrow.
Well, Schlater told me yesterday that the Wolves, have played you guys enough times that, they know what to expect from the Jaguars lineup, and that you guys obviously know what to expect from her. She has been dominant thus far in the tournament, allowing a total of just 2 runs in their 3 games. You know, Miley, what is it about her that makes her so tough to hit? Is it as simple as the fact is, that she throws harder than anybody else?
Honestly, I think the speed is a good thing for us. We like hitting that. We struggle more when we see slower pitchers, but she definitely has the spin and she makes you chase it. So if we can just stay off the pitches that aren't strikes, we'll be just fine.
And Jordan, her pitches obviously do, have a lot of movement too. Is it the rise ball that causes a lot of trouble for people?
The rise ball, honestly, sometimes I feel like her changeup when she does throw it, but just like Miley said, we stay off of it, we'll be fine.
And Miley, I know you guys just came from practice this morning. I don't want you to give away, any of your specific strategy, but just in general, do you think it'll be important to be patient and look for certain pitches from Schlater? Or do you think you need to, jump on a pitch right away if you see one that's hittable?
Right. She'll definitely try to get up in the count right away. So being ready early in the count so you don't have to go chase. And that's exactly what she wants you to do. So making sure that you're finding your pitch still, but also being able to jump on it quick.
And Jordan, I know you tend to take at least one pitch, if not more, in almost every at bat. You just seem to be really patient no matter who you're facing. Are you just someone that likes to see a lot of pitches?
Yeah, also just kind of sometimes I just don't feel like that's the pitch I want to drive. So, yeah.
Well, we haven't talked yet about Northwest offense, and even though the Wolves, may not be as explosive as you guys, they've certainly shown that they can score some runs. They scored at least 6 runs in all 3 of the games against Centennial. Miley, you went the distance in the circle in that first game against Schlater. You gave up 3 earned runs on 8 hits. What sticks out about their lineup?
Right. I mean, just like us, like 1 through 9, their lineup can hit the ball, and we're all expecting that. So as a pitcher, you want to make sure your defense has your back behind you, and we definitely do. And everyone just wants to win as much as the other person.
Well, I know Sophia had a home run in that game, and I don't know what her total is on the season, but obviously she's the biggest bat in that lineup. I mean, she's someone you don't want to let beat you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan, I don't want you to give away, your team's pitching strategy, but I know the Wolves have yet to see Peyton Spiegel in the circle this season, so I imagine we might see her at some point tomorrow. But Sandholm has tossed 2 shutouts in the postseason, and I'm sure she'll be ready to go, as will all of your other pitchers. I'm sure you have confidence in whoever coach puts out there, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Well, if you guys can finish this off tomorrow with a state championship, what would that mean to you, Miley?
That'll be just so fun, knowing that we deserve everything that's coming to us. We put in the work. We've been ready for this moment, and we're just ready to embrace it.
And of course, Jordan, you were on that team 3 years ago that won it. So this would be your second title, but you're a senior now. Do you think this one would mean even more to you?
I think so, especially with our team and the environment we have.
Well, hey, guys, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate your time. Good luck tomorrow night, and I'll see you up there.
Thank you.
You bet. You're listening to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny, is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, my final guest today is the head coach of the Centennial squad. He is in his eighth season with the program, and he's guided the Jaguars to an overall record of 247-72. This is his fourth Centennial team that he has taken to the state tournament, and the Jaguars are trying to win their second state title in 4 years. He is Brett Delaney. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me. I just finished up kind of the last practice on a dirt field today, so...
Yeah, and it's not too hot today, so it's...
No, it was a good morning practice.
Well, Coach, you guys have already had an amazing week up there at Fort Dodge. You outscored your opponents by a 30-5 margin to win all three of your games during bracket play. And I know it certainly reminded me of 2023 when your team cruised to the Class 5A crown by winning its three games by a combined score of 29-2. Now, you've said before that this season that this is probably the best team you've had from 1-24. And I know you still have a big hurdle to get over tomorrow night. But does this run that you're on kind of remind you of that 2023 squad?
Yeah, you know, both of those teams are very comparable. The energy that they bring, the uniqueness that they bring day in and day out. And each team's different. This one's built just a little bit different than that one. And I'm very fortunate for both of those groups. But yeah, there's some similarities and there's some differences there. And, you know, we have one carryover with Jordan from that. Jordan and
Maddie.
Yep, Jordan and Maddie from that carryover. So we've relied on their, expertise and veteran presence in that dugout to help what the girls are going to experience today and tomorrow. Leading up to that championship game.
Well, we talked about the new double elimination format earlier with Miley and Jordan, but I wanted to get your perspective on it too. You know, clearly it wasn't much of a factor in Class 5A this season because you guys in Waukee Northwest were so dominant all year, and you both have shown this week that you deserve to be playing in the championship game. But what did you think of the new format and the new East Diamonds as well? Do you think this will be a good change going forward?
You know, I think it is a positive change. I think they've got to go back to the drawing board just a little bit, maybe make some tweaks here and there. Possibly, if a team loses, if they can flip sides, and that way you don't face the same group all the way through. Maybe one thing to look at. Another thing might be to look at is there any way to set the schedule up so a team doesn't have to play three in a day? I know that was tough for some teams yesterday, and some came up through it and some didn't. And ultimately, the best are going to come out of a double elimination tournament. But I think there's some minor tweaks that they have to make. And, you know, we left yesterday there, and we're excited to go up to championship field, play on dirt. But we kind of got used to that turf field down there. And we were curious about what it was going to feel like. And I think it had a little bit of a turn or a big time state tournament feel. The crowds were great. We've had great fans all week. And I think there's some little kinks here and there that they can make even the better, the atmosphere, maybe a little bit of music in between innings, things like that. But, you know, it's things that they're going to have to learn after the first year, and it's going to be step by step and very positive first year, I think.
Well, the Class 5A tournament has kind of turned into the CIML Invitational because all of your games will be against CIML opponents. You opened the tournament on Monday with a win over Dowling before defeating Southeast Polk twice over the next 2 days. And now you guys will play Waukee Northwest for the fourth time this season with the state title at stake. You know, has it made the preparation for you guys a little easier just because you are so familiar with those teams?
You know, it does make it easier, but it also makes it harder because they have just as much information as us on the, as we have on them. And so it does make it challenging. I guess we kind of know what each other's going to bring to the table, and we've played throughout the year, and we've had different strategies going into each game. So, it's just a little bit different. I know as a conference, we're trying to look and adjust maybe the conference schedule here going forward, and maybe if we can get the ADs on board, just go to a doubleheader format, not the three-game setting, and have a CIML Classic in the middle of the year where we can promote our girls and promote some of the best softball in the state in one central location for a couple days. And All the coaches on the Santa Mel are on board. We just got to get the ADs on board with that opportunity. So hopefully with the fan support and the coaches pushing, and we can get all ADs and the Santa Mel on board and kind of adjust our schedule for this purpose. So if we see each other in the postseason, we don't have those fourth and possibly fifth times that we have to play a team. But that's just something that the drawing board and the Santa Mel.
Well, your team has shown off its depth all week. You guys got some strong pitching performances from both Peyton Spiegel and Lauren Sandholm in your three wins, and your squad has hit 8 more home runs this week to extend your all-time single-season record to 92. Your third baseman, Jordan Kennedy, entered the week ranked second in Class 5A with 63 RBIs, but she has been pitched around much of the time and has not driven in a single run this week, but it hasn't mattered because so many other kids have stepped up. Emmy and Maddie Ott each had a pair of home runs yesterday, but it was Miley on Monday who had a grand slam and 5 RBIs. You know, you've even had some kids come off the bench and contribute, like Addie Frederick, who has had a pinch hit RBI single each of the last 2 days. You know, there's really no way to pitch around this lineup, is there?
Yeah, you know, 1 through 9 and then 1 through 24, whoever we're bringing off the bench is just stepping up when we need to. And if someone's having an off game, the next person's right there to pick them up with whatever way they can. And Jordan's had a great week, and she's done exactly what we needed her to. And she's poised for a good championship game tomorrow. And she has been pitched around, and she's been battling that for about the last 2.5-3 weeks of the season, and her swing's been great in batting practice, and she's had some good approaches there, so we know it's coming and it's there. And right now she, we're just fortunate that she's getting on base with walks and finding ways to let the next person drive her in and not necessarily her all the weight on her shoulders. And I know her and Maddie have expressed it just a little bit of the sense of a little sense of relief this year, where they had know that they maybe didn't have to carry as much, and they have the support around them. And Corey Lincecum's had a great week. Abe Faber's had a great week. Miley, Delaney, Lauren Sandholm, Emmy Ott, and then Kami Starr. So yeah, we have a great week, and then we've got a couple of good pinch hits opportunities for girls throughout the postseason.
Well, you mentioned all those girls, and I know the outcome of Friday's game will certainly have an impact on the all-tournament team, but I'm guessing you guys will get 3 or 4 players on the team regardless. And at this point, you know, you've got several kids who could make an argument for being on there. And I hadn't mentioned Corey, but you just did. You know, until she went over 2 yesterday, she might have been your hottest hitter in the postseason. She went 5 for 7 with a homer, 2 doubles, and 7 RBIs in the first 2 games this week. You know, you can just go up and down your lineup, and you've had kids, you know, come up with big games. You know, you're probably going to have a lot of candidates for that team.
Yeah, you know, we've actually talked about it as coaches. We have a ballot sheet that we've got to get filled out today, and looking at all the 8 teams that are up there and finding the best. I think they give us 10 votes. And I think we were well deserving of having 4 or 5 girls on that list, but there are other girls too on the other squads that are deserving as well. And so it'll be interesting to see who they go with the all tournament team. But yeah, Corey's had an unbelievable week, and she just had a little off day yesterday. But was able to find a way on base, I believe, with a walk at one point. But yeah, she had a great couple plays in the outfield. There's a ball deep in right field yesterday that Coach Ben and I turned to each other, like, Tori would have ran through the fence to catch that one. And she even said it after the game. She goes, "I wasn't letting that ball drop." So we're very fortunate for her defense and then for her at-bats at the plate.
Let's preview the championship game now. This is the matchup that a lot of people have been expecting all season. I think, you know, it's got a chance to be an all-time classic. It really is a battle of the immovable object against the irresistible force, because, you know, on one side, your team has perhaps the deepest and most potent offensive lineup that anyone has ever seen. And on the other side, Northwest boasts one of the nation's best players and most dominant pitchers in Sophia Schlatter. You know, but this is the matchup that your kids wanted, right?
Yeah, we set out at the beginning of the year to be one of the last 2 teams standing, and we kind of had an idea it might be Northwest, and Waukee Northwest is a great team, and Sophia is a great pitcher, but you know what, we have a really good roster, and actually a great roster, and so yeah, it's going to be one of those opportunity to have a game to remember in the state tournament game. And that's what we want the best 2 teams, and I think we got the best 2 teams in 5A, and I think we've got a really good shot at getting it on top tomorrow.
Well, Slater was pretty dominant against you guys last year when she beat you 3 times, including an 11-3 victory in a Class 5A semifinal. You only faced her once this season, and that came on June 4th in the Wolves' 6-5 win at Centennial. But in that game, your team had 7 hits off of her, including 4 doubles, and it seemed like your kids gained a lot of confidence from that game.
Yeah, you know, they're ready. They've had their approach and working on different things. And we had a good opportunity in that game against her early in the year to face her. And then we've had that opportunity to see her once, and she's had the opportunity to see us once. So we have a good idea of what we're going to see tomorrow. And we just know where we're going to get a good battle out of our girls and a good battle out of her and her teammates, too. So we're excited for the opportunity.
Well, Slater has been really dominant this week. She's given up just 9 hits while racking up 27 strikeouts in 3 games. Now, she obviously doesn't really give up, you know, a lot of base runners. So don't you think, you know, one of the keys to the game will be taking advantage of your scoring opportunities when you have them, because, you know, you may have some 1-2-3 innings along the way.
Yeah, you know, when two great teams get to battle, runs are going to be hard to come by. And we've got great pitching in our circle, and they have great pitching in theirs, and we have great hitters, and they have great hitters. And so, yeah, runs aren't going to be easy to come by tomorrow, and it's going to be making those routine plays on defense and then taking advantage of opportunities up at the plate and finding ways to score runs. And it might be the long ball, it might be the short game, and it just kind of depends on how the game flows. And I think Coach and I will be ready to go with both of our teams. So we worked on different scenarios today in practice, and actually all year. And so leading into the game, I think the girls are ready for whatever's going to, I guess, entail. And you have some ideas in the back of your head, but ultimately you can't decide what's going to happen until the moment presents itself.
Well, I don't want you to give away your team's pitching strategy, but unlike Northwest, which has been riding Slater all week, you do have multiple arms that you could throw at the Wolves. Sandholm has thrown a pair of shutouts in the postseason, and Spiegel has been so good all year, and she has yet to face Northwest this season, so it seems likely that, you know, you'll see her at some point tomorrow. You have some other capable pitchers as well, and it's possible you might need them all.
Yeah, you know, we're very fortunate. We were set up for a tournament like this. We have 5-6 deep in that circle that we could go to, and it might be a girl for an out, it might be a girl for 3 innings. It might be someone for the whole game. We're just not quite sure, but we'll have all of them ready tomorrow and throw different things at them and come up with a game plan. And the coaches are going to meet this afternoon again to solidify what we're going to do and come up with an opportunity that we think is gives us the best chance to win that title tomorrow night.
Well, a lot of times these big games can maybe be decided by an error in the field, and you guys have been very solid on defense all year. You're averaging just under 1 error per game, so your team, you know, has been very good at making the routine plays. Now, the Wolves have been as well. This might be attributed in part to Slater's dominance in the circle, because she has nearly 300 strikeouts on the season, but they've committed only 20 errors in 43 games. You know, it's a team that doesn't beat itself, so you're going to have to go out there and beat them, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, and that's what you want. We want the two best out there to take advantage of those, and it's going to be a good opportunity for us to find ways to win. And they've got a good defensive team, and they've got a good pitcher, but we've got a great defensive team and great pitchers and great hitters as well. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to take advantage of their mistakes and score a few runs tomorrow.
Well, if you guys can win the game tomorrow, you know, I asked Jordan what this title would mean to her, since she's won one before, you have as well. You know, how would this title compare to the one from 3 years ago?
You know, everyone's, you're very fortunate for all of them and for every opportunity. And I would not take anything for granted. And it would just mean it's just as much as the first one that we got in 23 as this is one's going to mean tomorrow night.
Well, this team has just been so dominant all year. I think if you guys can finish it off and beat a pitcher like Slater, I mean, you'd have to be considered one of the best teams that the state's ever had, I would think.
Yeah, you know, that's up to, I guess, the reporters out there and the rankings people to determine that. But we're very fortunate for the group that we've had so far this season. And, yeah, I think they might be one of the best out there.
Well, Coach, thanks for coming today. I appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow. I'll see you up there.
All right. Thank you so much.
You bet. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Ankeny Centennial softball standouts, Miley Hatfield and Jordan Kennedy, along with head coach Brett Delaney. And I appreciate the time from all three of them on this busy week at the state tournament. And after this week, of course, next week will be a dead week for all high school sports. And then we'll have a little bit of a break before the fall sports get going there in mid-August. So I think the podcast will probably be on hiatus here for a few weeks. If something pops up, certainly we certainly won't hesitate to record one. But it might be a few weeks until we have one. So come back then for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.